Welcome to another Small Bites by Mirepoix Taste Buds. We are your buds, Emily.
And Melissa.
And tonight, we're talking about a couple things all rolled into one. And that is the magic of Diwali.
Hell yeah. So Diwali, also referred to as Dipawali, is India's biggest and most important holiday of the year, which I don't think I realized it was like the biggest one. They like equate it to like the significance of Christmas for the United States. But so, yeah, big deal. The festival gets its name from the row of clay lamps that Indians light outside of their homes to symbolize the inner light that protects from spiritual darkness.
Yeah, it's interesting because I never really thought that much about Diwali because it didn't really play that big of a role in my life. And then when I worked at that like tech company that I worked at briefly, there was a lot of Indian people that were working there and it was like a really big deal. And I got to buy a bunch of like stuff for an event that we were doing for it. We bought like a bunch of clay lamps and we like brought in paint and got to like paint them during the day, and people brought in sweets. It was like a huge day for bringing in all these different like fun Indian sweets that I'd never seen before, and I was amazed by just like the breadth. I think we also like catered Indian food and I got to eat like samosas and like delicious Indian food too. So it was just like amazing. Yeah, and like they played cricket on the TV I think during the day, and someone like explained the rules of cricket. So yeah, it was just like
cool. Wait, what a like really inclusive way to celebrate. I feel like I don't think I knew anything about it until you knew something about it, because you gave those little like clay lamp things, and I definitely knew nothing about Diwali. I mean, I didn't have a lot of like Indian friends growing up or anything like that. So
yeah, no, completely clueless in the dark again. Like the horrors and sadness of growing up in just like a monoculture of just like one thing, where you don't get exposed to like so many of these wonderful traditions and things like that. I feel like at my job now, we're trying to prepare for 2024 and like establishing a calendar. And I'm in marketing, which doesn't necessarily directly translate to like the diversity thing, but we pulled from our diversity calendar and there was like only like 20 different things that like we maybe recognize or whatever. And like when we started pulling all the other ones and all the other like holidays and like heritage months and like awareness months, which are also like really big and people always want to support. So it was just like, oh my goodness, there's just so many things out there that we are, like kind of blind to until someone just like turns on the light perfect for Diwali and shines it on these things. So
love that.
Yeah, same. So for many people, Diwali honors the Hindu goddess of wealth, Lakshmi, and the lights and lamps are said to help Lakshmi find her way into people's homes, bringing prosperity in the year to come.
So love that. I feel like I love everything about this holiday, honestly. Everything I was reading about it was just like, oh, this is so beautiful. I love just this idea of like, you know, an inner light protecting from the darkness, and this this duality of light and dark I thought was really cool. But it's not only celebrated by Hindus, it's also celebrated by Jains and Sikhs. In Jainism, Diwali marks the nirvana, or the spiritual awakening, of Lord Mahavira. And in Sikhism, it honors the day that Guru Harobind Ji, the sixth Sikh guru, was freed from imprisonment. And even some Buddhists also celebrate Diwali in India as well. So,
I did not know that. That's interesting. So it's pretty cool because it lasts for 5 days. So it also marks the start of Hindu New Year. And the exact dates actually change and are determined by the position of the moon, which we always love a good moon festival or moon-centered holiday. So it usually falls between October and November because of that. And since it does change every year, this one happens to fall on this Sunday, November 12th. So you haven't missed it, and neither have we. But Diwali is a time to really have fun with friends and family. I feel like that was one of the things that was like so prevalent when people were talking about like how they celebrate. It was like very much getting together, bringing things to people. Like there's a big exchange of gifts. Sweets are huge. There's lots of delicious feasts. Fireworks are big, which is fun. Also wearing new clothes, which I'm like, yes. And it's also a time to clean and decorate your home. all the things I love.
Yeah. Again, yeah, like, great holiday. Love all of those things. All my favorite things. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I also never really knew that Diwali was 5 days of celebration. Mm-hmm. So technically the first day is called Dhanteras, which is a day that involves household cleaning and preparing for the upcoming Diwali events and even maybe some shopping. For some, it's also a day of worship for Lakshmi, and it's customary to purchase something precious or often something gold. The second day is Chaiti Diwali. This day honors Krishna's defeat of the demon god Narasuka. And decorating one's homes, including like hanging lights, is often customary. The third day is referred to as Diwali, and it's the main day of Diwali. There's an even larger celebration for Lakshmi, and typically there's household cleaning, decorating, such as making rangolis, which are these really, really beautiful like powder or sand decorations like on the floor that are super colorful and absolutely stunning. It's really interesting that, like, I feel like there's a lot of different cultures that make those kind of like sand floor murals. Yes.
I just forgot that that was even a part of this, and it, like, I had like a flashback moment, because I feel like they wanted to do one of those at my work, but it was like either too complicated, but we like did something that was somehow representative of that. And then also when I worked at the Seattle Art Museum, they always were really big on their Day of the Dead celebration. And every year they'd have like a sand artist come in and do this like really cool mural for that. And it was just fantastic.
Yeah. Latin America definitely like uses the sand a lot. I remember going to Guatemala, and there was like a local festival there when we were visiting, and like just entire floor is just huge, massive like murals made out of all these tiny grains of different colored sands. And it was so pretty. It was absolutely amazing, but
stunning.
Not sure why we don't do that in more cultures in the United States, but seems awesome. But that main day is also kind of a big day for gathering with family, exchanging gifts, sharing sweets, praying to Lakshmi, all those wonderful things. And then the fourth day is referred to as Padwa. This day honors the Krishna defeating of Indra by lifting the huge Govardhan mountain. Many people make clay and cow dung figures to depict this event also, which I thought was interesting. And then the last day is called Bhai Dooj, which is inspired by sibling love shared between Lord Yama and his sister Yami. And it's common for like siblings to honor one another on this day. Sisters often pray for their brother's successes and well-being, and like mark, you know, have marks on their forehead to like signify this. It also said that brothers often like visit their married sisters, and you know, they kind of welcome each other and share a lavish meal. So lots and lots of fun on all of these days.
I didn't know there was like a sibling connection to that final day. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's really just, especially like the importance of siblings, I think is just very interesting. You know, like I can't think of another holiday or like moment where that is like specifically called out. Like it's all usually like, oh, you celebrate your family or your ancestors or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe even your parents. Like there's some days that are like about like parental, you know,
yeah,
like honoring, but it's rare to be like about siblings, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, that focus is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So the main thing that this really came to mind for the pod was because there are just so many awesome foods that are eaten at Diwali and that are like kind of typically traditional foods. So samosas, one of my best friends.
my favorite, one of my favorite foods for sure.
100%. These are, if you haven't had one, I hope you will go out and immediately get one, because like literally you're missing out on life. But again, thing wrapped in dough. Fried pastry, savory filling, typically potato, typically vegetarian, which I'm also like, hell yeah. Biryani is another one that is a typical or traditional one you might see, which is a spiced mixed rice dish. Usually it's made with or without meat. There's gulab jamun, which are fried balls of dough that are soaked in syrup. We actually just got these last time we ordered Indian food, and they were so sweet and delicious. And I also picked up a cookbook a while ago, the Modern Tiffin, and she has a recipe in there for some. And at first I was like, who has this pan to make these? And then I realized that we actually own that pan, and I was like, I'm gonna make them. I know. I was like, wow. Yes. But there are also a ton of other Indian sweets that also fall into this category. So Like most celebrations worldwide, food is a huge part of this holiday, especially sweets, like we said. There's a jalebi, which is a fried bread soaked in syrup. Again, lots of syrups. I'm always into this.
Yeah, lots of syrups.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And lots of bread.
Yes. Yeah, this is why I get along. And there's also a fudge that's made with condensed milk and other flavors like pistachio. So,
which that sounded really good. Like the pistachio mm-hmm. flavors, I'm here for.
Mm-hmm, me too.
There's a lot of like common treats that they also like make to offer to the deities and the gods. So that one that we had mentioned was gulab jamun, which is like a melt in the mouth treat that's made with refined flour, koya, paneer, cardamom powder, and usually dunked in a sugar syrup. So that one sounds pretty tasty.
Yeah, I need to try to make those. There's also mm-hmm. rice kheer, which is made with rice, milk, sugar, cardamom, and nuts. It's a nutritious dessert. That is also another option that I'm like, mm-hmm, sign me up.
Yeah, I feel like all these desserts are kind of right up your alley because they're usually like nuts, fruit,
yes.
syrup. You know, it's not like traditional desserts that you aren't really about.
Yeah, it's very true.
There's also a dessert called Motichur Ladu. I'm sure I'm saying all of these things wrong, but
we're again, we weren't it. Raised to know, you know?
What am yeah, I supposed we're to, raised to know. Figure it out? I'm doing my best. But that's made with desi ghee, gram flour, edible coloring, sugar syrup, cucumber seeds, and they're like tender balls that are Lord Ganesha's favorite.
I'm intrigued by this. I don't even know what to expect with this one. Cucumber seeds.
Mm-hmm. What? Yeah, right?
Yeah. There's something
just
called
the seeds too, not the cucumber part.
I know. And I was like, what do the seeds add to that? I need to know. It's very fascinating. These are things that I'm like always also going to look for more when we go to like Indian restaurants and stuff too, because I always see stuff that I'm like, I don't know what this is. I'm curious, but.
Absolutely.
There's also something called atta halwa, which is made with wheat flour, ghee, sugar, water, cardamom powder, and nuts. And it's kind of like a sweet pudding.
Yum. And then finally, we have kaju barfi, which is one of the most famous Diwali sweets. And it's made with cashew paste, milk powder, powdered sugar, and like silver varg. So, I don't know. But that one keeps coming up as like one of the biggest Diwali sweets that you have to have. So.
The other thing that came up here, or one of the reasons I wanted to do this episode was because of pakoras. Mm-hmm. I saw a food episode where I think it was David Chang, and he was like cooking with someone in their kitchen, and they were making some like pakora like sliders, and it just looked so bomb. I was like, yes.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And then I was like, right? I was like, how do I not know more about this also? Another like food item that I would totally love. It's like, how am I not with it already?
Well, it's funny because like based off of what pakoras are, which they're basically just like fried vegetables in like a doughy, you know, goodness.
Yeah. A fritter.
Like they're basically like a fritter. Yeah. And it's like I've had fritters a million times. Like that's technically a kind of pakora, you know. It's not like like there's many different variations, and it's evolved like in most foods all across the globe. So in some variations I've had it. I've never had the Indian version, but which I can only imagine would be delicious because like just the kinds of spices that are involved are like right up my alley. But yeah, I mean it's like we've had it a million times and can't believe I've never had this particular version, like the original version. But yeah, they're a super like common food in India in general. They're referred to as bhaji in like southern regions of India, whereas the northern region generally refers to it as pakora. And the origins are interesting. They actually kind of originated in the Mughal area, which I was like, what the hell is Mughal? Apparently, it was a dynasty from like 1526 to 1858. And it was among the richest and longest ruling in India. At its peak, it controlled large portions of the Indian subcontinent. And the Mughals were basically Muslims of like Central Asian origin. So it's like Turkish, Persian kind of influence. And they kind of spoke like Persian. So very, very interesting. But the royal chefs basically during this time made a variety of different pakoras, like egg pakora, mutton pakora, chicken pakora, etc. They were well known as pakawat earlier on, and they later became these like deep fried fritters that came to be known what we see today. Pakawat was made by combining words like pakwa, which means cooked, and vata, which means small pieces. And it's said that it was the Portuguese that really brought the like potato onion fritters that are very common in the region, because that's who brought potatoes to India in the 16th century. So kind of a little bit of multiple influences, but
man,
mostly from that time.
World history, I tell you. Well, there are several varieties of pakoras that are made across the country. There's obviously, like we said, vegetables to eggs, meat, and even seafood. And they are mostly enjoyed with, which honestly, this is probably why I love these things the most. It's either coming with a delicious green chutney or a tangy tamarind chutney. And those are, if you ever have gotten a samosa and you have gotten it and there's no sauce, like they forgot to provide you with one of the sauces.
The most devastating moment
of
your life.
It is so sad. It is so, so sad. Last time we luckily had some like mango chutney that was like in the fridge. It was like a jarred version. I was like, fine, I'll survive. And like on occasion, if I have like cilantro and like something, I'll try to like whip up my own quick green sauce. But man,
yeah,
a dry one never is good. The sauce like really seals the deal. So
that tamarind chutney, especially for me, I love tamarind. That's like one of my favorite sauces, or like I don't know, taste even. It's just so good. Like tamarind juice. That's anytime real. I can get tamarind, I am all here for it, because that is like so not a U.S. thing.
Yeah, there. That was like our go-to after our CSA deliveries on Tuesday. We just go to the same Mexican spot, and we'd each get like a tamarind margarita, and we'd get like some tacos, and that was just like the routine. It was really Hell nice yeah. to look forward to. But it's interesting because these possibly served as inspiration for Japanese tempura. So according to food experts, back in the 16th century, Spanish and Portuguese ships would stop in India while en route to Japan.
I thought this was wild. I was like, I never really thought about it, I guess.
Yeah,
but
no.
Yeah, like during those stops, they would onboard cooks from India who were then said to have taught Europeans different ways to eat their vegetables. And pakoras was one of the main dishes that they served. And eventually those ships would reach Japan. Many of the Indian cooks would stay back in Japan and went on to influence Japanese cuisine, and helped create tempura. And I mean, it is kind of evident today because like there was no tempura in Japan before these Portuguese traders came into the picture. And, you know, it's also kind of an anomaly in Japanese cuisine to see this kind of deep frying happening, because it's just not traditionally practiced. Most of their like fried dishes are shallow fried rather than like a deep fried like tempura is. So
that's super interesting.
And yeah, in terms of making pakora, I mean, it's very simple. There's many recipes that we'll link in our link tree. But I mean, I feel like lots of people have made a fritter before. They do suggest like cutting the vegetables into long strips, because it makes it easier to like create the fritters and deep fry them. But you'll cut your veggies, you mix the flour and the spices that you need, add a little water and make it into a dough. And you just take spoonfuls of the mixture, lightly flatten them before dropping them into a pan of hot oil, and then, you know, cook them until they're golden brown. The flattening tends to help them so they aren't like so lumpy and cook a little bit more evenly, which I think is definitely a problem I've had with my fritters before, is it's like real dense and like doesn't fully cook through. So pro tip. And then you'll just remove them from the oil, set on a paper towel or rack to dry off that excess oil, and you're ready to go. Enjoy with your chutneys.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I feel like that slider they made, they put it on like a delicious little bun and like had like either that green sauce or some sort of chutney that they like put on there. And it was just like, mwah, chef's kiss. I got to find that episode so I can make those, because that really just is coming to mind right now.
Absolutely, oh, yes. But yeah, it's really interesting. There's like a map that I saw on one of the sites that has the like regions of all the different pakoras, because truly it is like in the south they make like these different types, and in the north they're making this, and in the west it's this kind, and it's all very regional. So
yeah,
we'll maybe share that on the link tree and stuff too. But very interesting, and I like want to celebrate Diwali. I'm like, is that weird?
I know. I was like, I was literally just thinking about that when I was looking at that like cultural calendar that we were kind of like putting together, and I was like, damn, I wish I could just celebrate all these holidays. And I know that that's, you know, not maybe right.
So much cooler than my own.
Yeah, there's just so many cool traditions out there that I'm like, oh man, I wish that was part of my stuff. So, yeah. I'll do some things celebratory.
I can at least now appreciate it properly, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the way the pakora sizzles, baby.